I often said that where I've grown in my life a lot is in the concept and understanding of my place before Christ, my understanding of who I am and who He is. I mean, I know that's general. But oftentimes we have, in the church, have made this walk with Him, this relationship, about the performance and how can we somehow gain acceptance and all those things which Christ has already done. And it's helped me to understand even why I come to Him in the mornings. You know, you've always been told you come to Christ and well, you got to spend time in His Word, you got to pray, you got to do these things. And yet, I found that in my own life, my dependence upon Him is so strong that I can't even function without Him. Now, He allows us the freedom to at least exist and function somewhat without Him. That's why people around the world are still breathing. That's why we're still breathing. But yet, I go to Him because He changes my thoughts. He changes my heart. He changes my perspectives. He changes my worldview. And if I don't go to Him, I'm left to my own devices. I'm left to think and try to figure things out on my own, which, because I have a sin nature, is my tendency. I want to control. I want to determine on my own. I want to have my own thoughts. I want to go my own way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And yet God stands there, non-condemning, and He takes His kids and He teaches them how to think. He teaches them what He sees. He shows them the desires of His heart. He shows them where His thoughts are. I have to go to Him because He changes my perspective. This world is His. We are His. It begins and ends and continues on because of who He is. Now, we've been talking about suffering, and we've been talking about unfavorable circumstances, and we've talked about the tendency for us to almost disengage from His presence, although we can never do that, but almost to disengage in our relationship with Him because of what we see around us, what is happening to us. And those very things that He desires for us to show dependence upon Him are sometimes the very things that we sort of shy away from Him. The circumstances, the suffering, the relationships that are maybe fractured, all are in His plan to draw us to Himself. So this morning we're going to give us opportunity to gain His perspective. Maybe you're going through some difficulties. Maybe you're going through some suffering. Maybe you're going through some relational issues. Maybe there's some fractions. Maybe there's some things that are uncertain in your life. God is there. You don't have to summon His presence. You don't have to go through a set of phrases to magically bring Him here. He is here. He is desiring for us to turn to Him in the midst of confusion, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of uncertainty. And so we're going to have opportunity for us to turn to Him. If you would put Psalm 46, and if you could keep this on the screen for the duration, please. God is a safe place to hide. He's ready to help when we need him. We stand fearless at the cliff edge of doom, courageous in sea storm and earthquake, before the rush and roar of oceans, the tremors that shift mountains. Jacob, wrestling God, fights for us. God of angel armies protects us. River fountains splash joy, cooling God's city, the sacred haunt of the Most High. God lives here. The streets are safe. God at your service from crack of dawn. Godless nations rant and rave. Kings and kingdoms threaten. But earth does anything, he says. There will be a time when Jesus rules this earth. There will be a time when all the things that we now struggle with are going to be gone. But we have the sure hope that the God who will be king on this earth is king of this earth. He is sovereign over everything that is going on in your life right now. He is the one we can hope in. We're going to have an extended time to be introspective. Paul says we need to do this. He says we need to be introspective and recognize who God is, who we are. You know, there's questions in the back of your bulletin that we ask here frequently. We've added one. God, what do you want me to know about myself? What do you want me to know about you? What do you want me to know about others? Because in the midst of your difficulties, in the midst of our suffering, of uncertainty, God desires that we minister to one another. We're a body. He has put us here, fitted rightly in his eyes. We're going to have opportunity. If you want prayer, there's going to be couples, guys, and gals in the sanctuary. If God wants you just to stay still and he wants to say some things to you, stay still. He loves to talk to us when we're ready to listen. If you feel God pricking your heart and saying, I want you to engage with somebody, and you want somebody to pray with you, come. We would love to pray with you. If there's somebody in the midst here that God's saying, you need to go and you need to make something right, go and make it right. If there is somebody here that God's saying, I want you to go pray for that person, go do it. We're going to give margin this morning for God to speak, that we would listen, that we would hear, and that we would respond in obedience. There's going to be soft music played. But do what God asks you to do this morning. And then when that time is done, then we're going to take the table. We're going to take the Lord's table together, as he desires us to take it, remembering him together. Every time, at least in my life, when I stop and I seek him, I'm amazed how tender, how gentle, how encouraging our Father is. How accepting and just present he is. I remember if I was going through, growing up, going through something that you've never done before, never experienced, just the awareness that my dad was there gave me encouragement. And how much more the Father who has given us his Spirit to remind us, to give us encouragement and confidence that he's here, that he's not unaware of what you're struggling with. He's not unaware of what your doubts are. And that was made possible because he sent his own Son, who knew no sin, but became sin for us. It occurred to me that throughout the Old Testament, God set up things that would point to what he ultimately did through his Son. And they were types, or they were symbols, or Christ did what he did that was eternal. For all the sin in the past, the present, future, all taken care of. Because Jesus came as one of us. And now, as he has ascended and is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, we are in this time using symbols to represent. But just like those in the Old Testament look forward to the coming of the Messiah, we now in the New Covenant look forward to the completion that is coming. And we use symbols to remind us. Jesus said, when you do these things, remember what happened here. But yet there's a hope in what is coming. Jesus said, this is my body. It's going to be broken. It's going to be abused. It's going to be tortured. It's going to be given for you. And so as we take this symbol, let's remember the giving, the generosity of the Christ, of the Messiah, giving himself for us. Let's take together. So many times in Scripture, I've seen and I've actually highlighted word, the phrase, according to, what has been offered to you, according to, and so much has been given to us in accordance to the shed blood of Jesus. We have been given forgiveness, where our wrongs, which is continually the sin that wraps this ugly head around this world, around us, has been forgiven. Not to be held against us. All those fancy words have so much power. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Bought back. Rescued. Restored, reconciled. There's power in the blood. And we've been given these things in accordance to the shed blood of Jesus. They're ours as his kids. Without blood, there's no forgiveness. Without the sacrifice, there would be nothing, that we would not be redeemed. We would not be reconciled. Jesus said, this is the new covenant. New covenant, new promise, the new time of God in us, intimacy, indwelling Holy Spirit. All the promises of the new covenant are ours, written in my blood, Jesus said. Written in my blood. Not only does that indicate sacrifice, that indicates power. Power. The Son of God shed his blood Therefore, there is no power that will come against us. The condemnations of the enemy, the accusations have no place because Jesus shed his blood on our behalf. Let's take together. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." Amen.